This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More than 50 Texas Democrats remain AWOL from Austin, refusing to vote on a new map of the state's congressional districts. Here's ABC Chief White House Correspondent Mary Bruce.
The congressional map is not linked to presidential races. Instead, it's usually tied to the once-a-decade census. Still, the president pushing for a new Texas map to give Republicans 5 new seats in Congress. But a vote can't happen without Democrats present, and dozens have fled the state. Texas Governor Abbott has already threatened to arrest them. Now he's calling on the state Supreme Court to remove the top Democrat, Gene Wu, from office.
Gene Wu telling ABC News those seats do not belong to Donald Trump. They belong to the American people. Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy pulling $500 million in funding for vaccines that are developed using mRNA technology. Sources say Vice President J.D. Vance is expected to host top administration officials tonight for a strategy session on the Epstein files. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thied. It has been a year and a half since 18-year-old Isaiah Kramer mysteriously vanished, and the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children continues to work closely with the Waukesha County Sheriff's Office in the search for Isaiah. Police say that on February 4, 2024, Isaiah went missing after leaving Norris Treatment Facility in Maguanago when he was just 16 years old. Later that night, Isaiah was captured on a trail camera in the area, but there has been no confirmed sightings since. Isaiah's mother, Kim Kramer, shared that the family has never given up hope and remains committed to bringing him home safely. To generate fresh leads in this case, NCMEC and its partner, GSTV, a national digital video network, will display Isaiah's poster on gas station screens across Wisconsin during the month of August. This increased exposure aims to renew attention on his case and help finally bring his family answers. Isaiah is described as 5 feet 8 inches tall, weighs 200 pounds when he was last seen, and has brown eyes and brown hair. He may be in need of medical attention. If you have any information about Isaiah or his disappearance, please contact MCMEC at 1-800-843-5678 or the Waukesha County Sheriff's Office at 262-446-5070. His family has a Facebook dedicated to finding Isaiah, which has more than 2,600 members. For WRCE News, I'm Tim Thied.
Another Brewers victory. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers wrapping up their series with the Braves in Atlanta. Milwaukee winning again last night, 7-2. Manager Pat Murphy says now the games get tougher.
Yeah, this is a game that easily, you know, when the other team leaves 14 on base and only scores 2 runs, they certainly didn't get the big hit. So we were fortunate. We got to look at that as, woof, you know, we're fortunate to take advantage of some walks, but that's who we are.
NFL, the Packers signed Nate Hobbs to a 4-year contract worth over $48 million, but he's not going to be in any preseason games. The defensive back says he needed surgery on his right knee after colliding with a teammate in practice last week.
I think it was Thursday's practice. It was a play. It was a collision. It was like slight little minor bump. I felt like I always, you know, something I always get. Somebody ran into me. But it turned out to be something deeper than that. So.
That's Packers defensive back Nate Hobbs. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, 66. Some showers and storms possible for your Thursday. Otherwise, partly sunny and a high of 85. On Friday, sunny and hot, near 90 degrees, and low 90s on Saturday.
It's 57 at our studios.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Actor Neil McDonough. If you saw his face or if you Google him right now, you'll recognize him. He refuses to kiss another woman on camera. On the one hand, I applaud him for not kissing anyone other than his wife. But she says, I don't have a problem with him if he wanted to kiss another woman. As someone who's done it, it doesn't really feel like cheating because there's people in the room. It's very mechanical.
You did write it yourself.
I did write it myself.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome into the studio Northeast Wisconsin filmmaker Craig Kinnett and Northeast Wisconsin singer-songwriter DeAndre Marie performs live. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It is 7:06. It's nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday, August 6th, 2025. Parker Olson is producing this show down in Madison Studio A2, and meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here as well. Brittany, we were talking about the musical Hamilton opening 10 years ago today. Have you seen it? Are you a Hamilton fan?
I have not seen it. No, okay. But I would love to. I would love to.
You would love it. What I learned over the news break here is that Parker here, he was in high school when this musical was peaking and makes a unique claim about his knowledge of Hamilton. And that claim, Parker, would be?
I'm pretty sure I know just about every word to that entire show, I think.
And so, since we don't have a guest for, you know, another 28 minutes or so here, we're now going to turn the show over to Parker, and he's going to recite Hamilton, yeah. The clean, take out all the naughty words.
Somebody like two.
Take it away, buddy. How does a, never mind. In the very first line, there's words we can't say. So I guess we'll just have to go to weather instead.
How does it?
Yeah. See? Mm. Yeah, you got it.
The first line.
Yeah. Yep. Mm. We'll come back to it.
Shoot.
Oh.
Yeah. We'll workshop this. In the meantime, we have been talking about the wildfire smoke, which, by the way, the advisories for at least parts of Wisconsin. This is the 23rd day, I believe, of advisories exceeding the record from 2023. Not a record you really want to break, but we do appear to be on the tail end of it, Brittany.
Oh, let's hope so. This morning, it kind of went backwards this morning. Areas that aren't even in an air quality alert are seeing some of the highest levels throughout the state right now. Just south of Madison, you're in a red unhealthy level at the moment. It's orange, unhealthy for sensitive, pretty much all throughout central Wisconsin, northern Wisconsin, and all of eastern Wisconsin. Still seeing that wildfire smoke, that fog, that thick haze out there. Hopes are that by this afternoon, it should clear the entire state. We've got winds starting to move out of the south. They're starting to get feisty. So they should gust around 15 to 20, hopefully, miles per hour this afternoon, kicking out that air mass and bringing in a new one. The new one comes with rain, more humidity and mugginess, and of course, hot temperatures as we push towards the weekend. So changing weather patterns completely here as the jet stream starts to lift north. We are looking at a low pressure just off to the west that is wrapping in a warm front to the western parts of the state right now. So that's where those south winds are coming from. And today we are going to hit the low to mid 80s. So getting a little bit warmer there. We will become mostly cloudy because we do have rain on the way. Light rain and drizzle is possible today, kind of working its way throughout the state. And then overnight, we got another round coming through with some more scattered showers, maybe some rumbles of thunder. No severe weather to worry about just yet. And of course, as we go into tomorrow, highs will be in the low to mid 80s. And we've got the mugginess seeping in at that point. It's going to get very hot and humid. Temperatures nearing 90 degrees on Friday and Saturday. And dew points in those 70s, so it's going to be feeling closer to those mid to upper 90s. And then the cold front hits. That'll be Saturday and into Sunday. That's where the severe weather chance moves in and some heavy rain that could cause some flash flooding.
Ooh, so much to watch over the next few days here.
Yes.
Good morning from Tigerton, writes Rob on YouTube. It's partly cloudy with light fog and 58 degrees, still very smoky. Yesterday, I got 4 yards mowed west of Tigerton and had no breakdowns, which is something we always like to see. I went to the Tigerton Library after work to get the latest information on Highway 29 plans to put into my Highway 29 scrapbook, and then had tacos sponsored by Tigerton Main Street Incorporated. Yesterday was his sister Debbie and her husband Kevin's 30th wedding anniversary, some lawns to mow, and then a doctor's appointment in Shawano. And here's a traffic update from Tigerton. Beginning August 11th, there will be road work along 29 westbound between the Wolf River Bridge and the Highway 22 interchange. It'll be down to one lane in each direction, and the Highway 22 interchange ramps will be closed until late October.
Ooh,
take note. I know.
Jeez.
We would do more of these, but given what construction season is like in Wisconsin, that would take the whole 3 hours. So we're just going to put them in from the Tigerton area. If you want to add your own to the comment section, that's fine as well. Hey, Brittany, thanks so much. We'll talk to you in our next hour.
Sounds good. See ya.
All right. Reminder that you can always sign up for our newsletter, upnorthnewswi.com, including our Sunday morning newsletter about Wisconsin politics. And we have a question of the week this week that asks, how should blue states respond to the red state gerrymandering going on in Texas? Coming up across the Civic Media Radio Network later today, well, of course, you've got Matt Nair on air, which follows this program from 9 to 11. Political strategist Joe Zepecki will be joining Jane and Greg just after 9:30. And then in the 10 o'clock hour, Darren Von Ruden, president of the Wisconsin Farmers Union. Again, Darren Von Ruden, not to be confused with Derek Van Orden, the congressman, who is decidedly not working in line with things the way the Wisconsin Farmers Union is. The Todd Alba Show is on from 2 to 4 this afternoon, and I'll be making an appearance there in the 2 o'clock hour, and maybe Trygve Olson from the Lincoln Project. I know that he is traveling, so he may or may not be checking in. He's so far away right now that we may actually have him on this show tomorrow morning, Trygve Olson, because we can't get him to wake up at 7 a.m. in Wisconsin, but it'll be well past that where he is. So we might have a Trygve Olson sighting, if not this afternoon, then tomorrow. And then Jim Santel is the guest host on the Maggie Dawn Show, starting at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Hey, Pete Schwabba's got a couple of guests this evening as well. At 6:30, he'll catch up with musician and photographer Chris Rogowski, and then Madison film critic Rob Thomas at 7:20. So much to see, so much to hear across the Civic Media Radio Network. You can see more over at their website, civicmedia.us. We've been talking more sports lately than we otherwise normally would. That's what happens when your team is on another winning streak. This one is 5 games after the Brewers beat up on Atlanta again last night, 7-2. So the winning streak is at 5. The lead over the Cubs is now 4, a 4-game lead in the National League Central Division. Freddie Peralta went 5 innings, giving up only 1 run on 4 hits. Andrew Vaughn singled in 2 runs, and he extended his hitting streak to 11, matching his career high. And National League Rookie of the Year candidate Isaac Collins drove in 2 runs on 2 hits. Jose Quintana will start Game 3, and once again, pregame at 5:40 this evening on several Civic Media stations. Then a travel day tomorrow as the Brewers come home and will have a weekend series against the Mets. Do we think the radio station tickets for the Brewers, those nice club seats, do we think they're all probably all snapped up by now? Right?
I do believe they're all snapped up. Whenever you were here, so like 2 weeks ago, I think I asked Luke for some tickets, might have been for this weekend, and he said, no, how about the end of the
How
month?
About no?
Yeah. How about no? So right. No, yeah, it's slim pickings, I believe, is the
term. That's what happens if you want to go to a White Sox game. I mean, there's there's tickets. If you want to go to a Twins game, it's already tough enough to be a fan of a sports team that is not doing well. In the social media era, you at least can laugh through the tears. The memes that have been put up, the TikTok videos that have been put up by Twins fans after the ownership had a fire sale, you know, last week. I mean, what was it? 10 out of the 26 players were traded away in some way, shape, or form. So you've got like the, you know, the John Travolta one from Pulp Fiction, where I think it's Pulp Fiction, where he's just looking around the room, like looking, is anybody here? And of course, they put him in Target Field, looking around, is anybody here from this team? You've got from The Fresh Prince, when Will Smith comes down, you know, into the family home, and like all the furniture is gone, and everybody's gone. Like, where did they go? No shortage of movie clips that point out just how hard it is to be a Twins fan this year anymore.
I feel bad. Good baseball's
no,
fun.
No, we don't have to feel bad.
No, for the Twins, I don't care about. Here are the teams I don't like. The Cubs and the Cardinals.
Oh, well, that's a short list.
I think, as far like that I care about not liking, those are the only ones. Yeah. I love the Yankees. But
I think the only team I would say I don't like in baseball would be the White Sox, because they had is he still there? Or is he gone now? That announcer of theirs, Hawk Harrelson or something like that. I mean, just it was him and another announcer, and it's just that, you know, that Chicago tough guy thing where they just dump on all the other teams. They can't just call the game. They always felt the need to punch down back when they thought they were all tough, and then of course the White Sox. You know, before the Brewers were big rivals with the Cubs, the Brewers were in the American League.
Yeah.
And it was the White Sox games that got particularly nasty. I mean, in the couple of years before the Brewers switched from the American to the National League, those games, I'm not saying they were all bench-clearing brawls, but, you know, they got to be tense at times.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
And either way, you had to put up with Chicago fans coming up to Milwaukee. Yeah. And that's a thing.
That is a whole thing. Chicago sports fans are an interesting breed.
You know what, though? Over time, I mean, we used to say this about Bears fans, too, but, you know, when you spend enough time in the basement, you're eventually a little bit more humbled when you're able to, you know, come out of the basement and meet up with the rest of the folks. Bears fans have been better behaved. I'm not going to say well behaved. Don't get me wrong here, but they've been better behaved. Roger putting up on Facebook here. Hawks partner was Tom Pachorik. Yeah, it was him, and there was it John Rooney for a while was with them as well. Anyway, they were just so
Southside.
Yeah. So not fun to listen to. So for the Brewers to be having the kind of year that they're having. Especially this lead up on the Cubs, if it can maintain, it's just going to make things that much sweeter. Plenty of things to see over at CourierNewsroom.com, Courier Newsroom being the parent company of Up North News. For example, there's Mark Jacob, who joins us on Friday mornings. He also has the Stop the Presses newsletter. You can also see it at stopthepresses.news. And this week in his newsletter, he says, will journalism become impossible in the U.S.? Trump's war on the free press is following the foreign dictator's playbook. And he outlines that. Let's see. We also have our friend Jennifer Schulze, who has a newsletter on Substack. You can find her newsletter, Indistinct Chatter, on Substack by searching for @NewsJennifer. She is talking about the Paramount merger with Skydance and its takeover of CBS. And in her newsletter this week, she says, a CBS investigative piece on the Epstein jail video broke important new ground. Under its new mega mandate, that story might never be allowed. And so you can look for that again from our friend Jennifer Schulze. And then back on Courier Newsroom on YouTube, go to youtube.com and then put in Courier HQ. And look for the series, How Is This Better with Akilah Hughes? And again, this one is about the Trump media takeover and why Americans are increasingly split into the informed and the manipulated. So all that and more to find over at CourierNewsroom.com. A local update is coming up next for some of you. And then when we come back, we'll have this week's homeroom segment. We'll be talking to folks from Green Bay, from the school board, from the city council, about the ways that they created better taxpayer transparency when it came to the cost of voucher schools and how you can do that in your community as well. From the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. Powered by Up North News, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for Attorney General, Lieutenant Governor, Secretary of State, and State Treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Seat just this one time, please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Marty Richards from Greater Richland Area Tourism is our guest today as we chat about the many things going on in the area. Good morning, Marty.
Good morning, Philip.
Yes, Mayor Todd Coppernall was here yesterday.
I heard that.
And I told him, I said, we have to give equal time.
So. You know, what's really funny was yesterday we had a meeting, a departmental meeting and citywide meeting. And he kind of acted like you instigated that, but oh. I heard it. I'm taking notes. We'll get even.
Absolutely. Lots of things going on. I mean, we always think of especially June and July, but August is pretty busy in the area too, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I always lament June and how everything is, and there are a ton of events in June, and they're kind of happening on top of each other, which isn't a bad thing. We can have multiple events in a weekend, and that brings people to the area, and then other events, you know, they get exposure to those things. And it always feels like there's a little bit of a swoon in late July, and then August, all of a sudden, things kind of pick back up again. And we have a lot of evidence of that. Tonight, you know, things kick off with National Night Out running from 5 to 8 o'clock at the fairgrounds. A lot of activities there. I know the First Responder Challenge is kind of a favorite of a lot of folks. They like to see that activity, a little friendly competition. But also the 5K run, I know, is gains a lot of attention as well. Music, food, a lot of things happening there. And then Thursday, I really encourage, I know that cricket Oh my gosh, out at Driftless Music Gardens. Tim, I can't believe I forgot Tim's name. Sorry, Tim Lochner. Tim and Cricket out at Driftless Music Gardens would really like to engage more with local community and have them come out, check things out. People Fest is an event. If you really like to catch a relaxed vibe and really see a really interesting event, you know, they have basically, usually it's a number somewhere between 1,500 and 1,800 people show up. These are mostly folks that are, you know, new American bluegrass music or new American folk music aficionados, and they really enjoy that kind of music. And there's some outstanding artists that show up for this event, but there are a lot of people that show up. And it's just a great experience. No security, really, to speak of. They don't need security, which is really unusual. So I really encourage folks in the area, if you've been hearing about Driftless Music Gardens and you've thought, hey, you know what, I've always wanted to go check that out. This is the weekend to do it. People Fest is where that's their hallmark event. 3 days, Thursday through Saturday. A ton of fun, food, go hungry, because there's some really good food trucks that are there as well. I've been several times. It's just a great experience. So,
do they have a list of who's playing? And
oh, absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, everything I talk about today, you can always go to GreaterRichlandTourism.com. I encourage folks, go to our calendar of events. And the calendar of events will have all the information or link to that organizer's information. So that way, all you have to remember is GreaterRichlandTourism.com. Go to that calendar, and then you don't have to remember really which event you were looking for. It'll be there. So, yeah, and their list of artists is phenomenal. So Walk with Grace, obviously, this weekend, and you folks have really been part and partner with making that happen and really promoting that. A lot of excitement with Walk with Grace. Also, Friday, August 8th, Central Boarding House. Margie, you know, throughout the summer, and she's been doing this for years. Terry and I can remember, my wife and I can remember when we were first married, going to the old bakery, Len's old bakery, where she would have music on a Friday night. And just outstanding artists and really some unique music. This Friday, she has Gaines and Wagoner. They're Madison group, if I remember correctly. Kind of a down-home blues sound. I don't know that they've played there before. So this will be another new event, or rather a new artist coming to Richland Center. But again, that's at Central Boarding House. Their garden stage out back. Bring your own chair. Bring your own beverage. Just come relax. Really a nice time on Friday, August 8th. And then the circus is coming to town. There'd be some people that argue the circus has been here for about 61 years. But the Culpeper Merriweather Circus is coming Sunday and Monday, August 10th through the 11th. Really encourage that you purchase tickets in advance. And I know you folks are promoting where they can get those tickets. I know Napa's one location, but there's others. It really benefits the community if people buy the tickets in advance, more so than waiting until the day of the circus or the actual show. So just encourage folks, this weekend, there's a lot going on. That's, you know, we just listed, you know, 5-6 events that are multi-day events too, in most cases, where there's plenty activity. And what's interesting, there might be some folks, and we get this. There are people, I talk to them, see them on social media. Boy, what would it take to get Star Spangled Celebration back? Let me give you a word of warning on big events like that. If you pay attention, the big music festivals are struggling. So if you go out and you just check on some of those bigger music events that are out there, Lollapalooza, others, there's one, I'm going to forget, the name's wacky and I'll forget the name, but it's in Tennessee, that's had 2 years now where they really struggle because of weather. Outdoor music festivals with big names are struggling. And really what seems to be gaining traction are these regional events, such as Driftless Music Gardens, or even the smaller venues. Also in this day and age, and I'm, you know, sorry to say this, but people are not looking to go into areas where there are huge crowds. That is a target. And I'm sorry, but we have to have that discussion. And here in the greater Richland area, we are blessed that we have Driftless Music Gardens. We have Margie with the Garden Stage. We have other venues in the area, Wild Hills Winery, who has music. There's others.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henriks.
News from the Center, WRCE.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
This is the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you this morning. When you get a big group of farmers together in one place, chances are that the weather and crop conditions are going to be a topic of conversation. And that's exactly what we were hearing yesterday during the Century and Sesquicentennial Farm Award Breakfast at the Wisconsin State Fair. Good news on how the crops look around the state, both from the growers as well as the official crop progress report from USDA. Market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing joins us with an update on how Wisconsin's crop ratings are holding up against the national scene.
Yeah, crop ratings continue to stay strong. Corn, 73% good to excellent nationally. Wisconsin's still holding in really well, 81% good to excellent. We got a great crop going here, at least in terms of how it looks at this time frame, just from talking to producers around the state. They keep echoing that sentiment. Soybeans, 69% good to excellent, kind of in line with what the market was thinking. Again, Wisconsin soybeans, 81% good to excellent.
Market advisor John Heinberg joining us from Total Farm Marketing in West Bend. Unfortunately, a good crop outlook isn't necessarily price supportive. On the close yesterday, grain markets were lower. We'll take a look at that next.
65 years ago, Bob Steffes built a legacy, one auction at a time. Today, Steffes Group carries on that tradition, delivering trusted service with integrity you expect. From the first conversation to the final bid, we're more than an auction company. We're your partner in sharing your legacy, because here, handshakes still mean something. Visit steffesgroup.com right now for information on auctions in your area, nationwide, and to find a local representative near you. That's steffesgroup.com.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
On the close yesterday, cash corn was down a nickel and a half at 381 and a half. December new crop corn down a nickel at 402 a bushel. Cash beans were down 3¾ cents at 971 and a half. November new crop beans down 3¾ at 990¾. And cash and new crop wheat is down 8½ cents at 508¼. Class 3 milk contracts saw a rally ahead of the overnight. That meant the 40-pound block cheese was 2¼ cents higher at $1.80¼. Class 3 milk goes to make cheese. AA butter closed down 2¼ cents at $2.44 per pound. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. Tonight, partly cloudy, 66. Some showers and storms possible for your Thursday, otherwise partly sunny and a high of 85. On Friday, sunny and hot, near 90 degrees and low 90s on Saturday.
Right now, it's 58.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years, to let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Are you a little frustrated with how voting is going in Wisconsin? Well, tomorrow we'll talk about a possible solution called Fusion Voting. Join us live on location from La Crosse for Leader Ethics and Fusion Voting.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Welcome to our weekly homeroom segment where we highlight public education in Wisconsin and the opportunities and especially the threats to it, including the lack of taxpayer transparency when it comes to things like the ongoing voucher school movement in Wisconsin. And today's topic takes me back several years to 2017, particularly when I was helping my friend, then State Representative Dana Walks, in his campaign for governor. And one of the things that he liked to talk about that he thought not enough people were talking about was that need for greater taxpayer transparency on property tax bills. That not enough was being done to let taxpayers know that when they see that line on their property tax bill that says, you know, school district of Chippewa Falls, that not all that money is going to the school district of Chippewa Falls. In fact, a lot of money is skimmed off the top and put into the voucher program, but the taxpayer wouldn't know it. Dana Walks wrote a bill that called for that chunk of money to be, you know, put separately on the property tax bill. Republicans in the legislature year after year said no, that they weren't going to require that through state law. Some folks in Green Bay said, well, maybe we need to make that happen at the local level. And they recently did, and they're here to talk about how you could do that same thing in your hometown and have, again, greater taxpayer transparency. This isn't about whether voucher schools should exist, and this time around, it's not even whether they should get state funding, though I'd argue that they shouldn't. But at the very least, you should know how much of your tax dollars go to that when it's on your property tax bill. So we welcome back to the program our friend Denise Gomer Hutchinson from Wisconsin Public Education Network. We're also happy to be joined by Laura McCoy of the Green Bay School Board and Alyssa Prophet, who's an alder on the Green Bay City Council. Nice to have all of you here. Thank you, Denise, Laura, Alyssa. Good to see you all.
It's nice to be here.
Denise, let us start with you. I know we've talked to you about this previously, but lead us up into what happened in Green Bay. In other words, before we even get to what they did, maybe you can say, you'll say it better than I can. Why is it important to have this kind of transparency on property tax bills?
Well, it's critical for taxpayers to make well-informed decisions on if they support future referendums, but also just to know and understand where their tax dollars are going.
Yeah. And so, again, the state legislature wasn't making this happen. Laura, do you want to pick up the story and talk about how things started to get rolling in Green Bay?
Yes. In the fall of 2023, our school board passed a resolution asking the city council of the various municipalities that fall underneath the Green Bay School District umbrella to please include this this information on their tax bill. We started with Green Bay, which is obviously the largest municipality. We passed the resolution, our board passed it unanimously. It went before the city council the following January, and it got tabled. It didn't pass, and they didn't even take a vote. What happened is that this is where Alyssa comes in. She was elected the following April and brought this back to the city council. The upmake of their city council had changed, and she really pushed hard for this.
Alyssa, why don't you go ahead and take the baton from there to talk about how you got started in this process?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'm thankful to know both Denise and Laura, who are great advocates for public education. I also value public education. I have a kindergartner and first grader starting up in about a month here at Green Bay Public School. this was a conversation that I hate to say was easy at the start, right? Because I've yet to talk to a voter who wants less transparency when it comes to where their tax dollars are going. They want more. And in this conversation, like, where do we put it? I believe there's a few pieces of mail that taxpayers will look at and take seriously, and that's likely their W-2 documents if they still receive those via mail, and it's their tax bill, it's their property tax bill. The entirety of the council sees calls go up when it's that time of year, right? So really what I did from there was bring back a communication really for just staff to investigate the feasibility. That's the first step, is really like, can we get our staff who are phenomenal at the city of Green Bay. They're willing to run with a lot of things that the council wants to look into, right? So that was the first step. We thankfully got that through committee level. Our worked legal and finance worked with the Wisconsin Department of Revenue, showed examples of where and what we were looking to do. They came back, and Wisconsin Department of Revenue was really our end all, or you know, the final say when it comes to the feasibility piece. They said, yeah, yes, we can do that. And the imaging that was shown was then sent back to council to discuss further. Was an interesting night at council in terms of who spoke in favor and who spoke against. So I can maybe let Laura or Denise speak to that a little further. But thankfully, it did pass. Unfortunately, when a lot of things pass easy in this cycle for us, this one was not. It was a 6-6, and it was broken by the mayor. But it was a pass, so we'll take that.
Well, without a doubt. So once you looked at the feasibility, I'm wondering if part of it too was then the cost. It's one thing to say you want the transparency, but A, you have to go get the numbers, and then B, you have to change the way that you do your property tax bills to put it out there. Was cost any kind of a consideration in this as well, Alyssa?
That was certainly a question from a number of alders as well. And our finance department is the one who creates and does the work there. And then the county is the one who prints the bill. So from a city perspective, our staff said to them, this would be $0 cost. I mean, they said it's work that we're already doing. It's something that if that's what the body wants. It was kind of funny, the discussion, you know, folks were like, well, what else can we add to it? And they're like, yeah, what else do you want to add? I mean, it's printed for the city of Green Bay. Like, yeah, so cost certainly was a factor, but staff was confident in saying that it wouldn't be at any additional cost for us.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. It is sometimes politically convenient when you want costs itemized. I recall being in the legislature and hearing Republicans say, well, there should be a Google. Government should be essentially like a checkbook where you can look line by line at, you know, all the things that cost taxpayers money, which nobody really totally disagrees with, Denise, unless you're looking for obfuscation. And so it's one thing about whether, you know, it's feasible to get the numbers. It's another thing if you can afford to put the numbers on. But it seemed to me, first and foremost, the reason we weren't seeing these numbers on tax bills was that there were too many lawmakers trying to hide the cost of vouchers. And Wisconsin Public Education Network has basically made a cottage industry out of going, oh, we'll get those numbers for you.
Yes, we have. And that's been really important and valuable, because we're finding a lot of legislators and therefore also city council members have no idea what the costs are for the voucher program and also what the costs are on the taxpayers.
Right. And so that's Denise Gomer Hutchinson from Wisconsin Public Education Network. A moment ago, you heard from Alyssa Proffitt on the City of Green Bay City Council. Now back to Laura McCoy on the Green Bay School Board. And again, this whole notion of getting the numbers and providing the transparency, this does not sound like it was a heavy lift for the school district of Green Bay, nor for any other school district. The transparency is something you would naturally want the taxpayer to have, it seems to me.
Yes, and I think that the indicator of the importance, the political importance of this statewide, is who showed up at our city council that night to argue against voucher transparency. I think you might be interested to know that John Gard showed up and Kate Zeiske showed up to argue against this measure.
And remind people who they are.
John Gard used to be in the state legislature, and his wife, Kate Zeiske, used to be the secretary of
revenue, I believe, or and state treasurer. Yeah. So, I mean, they've had leadership positions that were part of a legislature that was not looking to make these costs transparent. And as you just said, they're still arguing against that to this point. Let's carry it then to the next step, and that is other communities around Wisconsin, if they want to do this. And I don't know if the order in which you did it was the way that everybody should do it. Denise, do you want to go with this first, that if somebody just wants to start this from scratch in their particular school district, what are your recommended first steps? And then I'll ask Laura and Alyssa the same question.
Well, you'd want to contact Wisconsin Public Education Network. You can contact one of the regional, you can go to our website, find out information, how to get a hold of us, and we'll gladly have a conversation with you and get you all the background details. In fact, we have a toolkit that we're going to make available to communities that want to take this on. And yes, the first step is the school board writing that resolution and asking the city to do this, or the municipality or the township, because that's where it really has to start, is they have the information and they can move forward with it. Yep. So,
and that would be at wisconsinnetwork.org, a great website to learn more about taxpayer transparency. And so, yeah, let's, Laura, from a school board standpoint, again, if somebody is looking to get this going, what are your recommendations for first steps they should take?
Well, yes, as Denise said, it starts with that resolution. And since we were able to do this in Green Bay, people have been reaching out to me across the state. In fact, after I'm done here this morning, I'll be calling someone on the eastern part of the state who is very interested in trying this in their community. This issue is heating up. And I was in Milwaukee over the weekend to see Beto O'Rourke at a city hall kind of situation, and got up to speak and tell people about this, you know, what's going on. And I got to tell you that the room, when I told them that next year there might be as much as $800 million taken out of public education for the voucher program, I mean, people are paying attention to this right now. So, you know, if this is important to you, if this is something you want to try to do, start with your school board. But you're also going to need your city officials. You're going to need the support of your community to some degree, as well as potentially your superintendent, maybe some statewide elected officials. In Green Bay, it took a team of people to take it through all the stages, and you know, in the end, that's what it took.
Alyssa, in our final minute here, from a city standpoint, again, whether somebody is hearing who is serving on a city council or is close to people who are, what should they do?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say reach out to Wisconsin Public Education, ask those questions, and you don't have to wait, I would say, from a city perspective, right, for your school board to take something up if this is something that interests you. I think we always hear how education funding is complicated. It is, but sit down, grab a coffee with someone like Denise, get an understanding, because even though you might be from a municipal perspective, you still have that municipality. You can increase some transparency for your township, and everyone should consider doing it. We can't wait for the state to act. Time is now.
And our friend Chris Hambuck Boyle puts on Facebook, what a team for the taxpayers, what community will be next? And it's true. Oh, wait, did I want to make sure I get that right. I did say .org, right, on mine? Yes, WisconsinNetwork.org.
Yes,
okay, I saw in the comment section somebody fixed theirs. And again, just want to make sure it was clear, WisconsinNetwork.org, to learn more. Laura McCoy from the Green Bay School Board, Alyssa Prophet, a District 7 alder in the city of Green Bay, Denise Gomer-Hutchison from Wisconsin Public Education Network. You guys are taxpayer rock stars indeed. Thank you so very much. Good to see you today.
Nice to be here.
All right. And again, this is something that you can do in your community as well. And I think back to Dana Wachs's original bill. This is a basic thing. The legislature should have done it years and years ago. They didn't, but you can. A local break is next for some of you. Others will catch up with Jimmy Koska from Civic Media next. You're up north.
Connect.
connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise. Contact D&T Well Service for well service and replacement. Mary and Derek McCormick, owners of D&T Well Service, are insured, and they do new installs and fix existing systems, submersible pumps, booster pumps, and jet pumps. Ask about the constant pressure system that gives you the best pressure and quality water out of your well. Contact D&T Well Service, 606-5596. No pressure, no water, no problem. Call D&T Well Service, 606-5596, serving Southwest Wisconsin. Check them out at dtpumpwell.com.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Laura McCoy, she is a member of the Green Bay School Board.
In the 1990s, revenue caps were put into place, and Green Bay was a conservative, low-spending district. Mm-hmm. We've been struggling with that basically ever since. The people in our community have stepped up again and again to pass referendums. That's wonderful, but we need that per-pupil increase. We need the cash to keep the lights on, basically, and to pay our staff what they deserve.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org, a public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcasts give you reasons to get excited, keep you informed, and provide a great laugh. It's awesome listening on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 Richland Center. Milwaukee Brewers radio broadcasts give you reasons to get excited, keep you informed, and provide a great laugh. It's awesome listening on WRCE FM 107.7 and AM 1450 Richland Center.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Marty Richards from Greater Richland Area Tourism is our guest on the program, talking about some cool things going on. You talked about the winter of 23-24. This past winter wasn't much better.
That's the other concern is, okay. But, you know, one thing did happen. I always, get excited when there's snow and there's frost and the snow stays, and then we got snowmobile trails, and our snowmobile trails were open for 3 total days.
I didn't even remember that.
Yeah, they were open for about 3 days because grooming had happened. The surface was cold. We didn't have a ton of snow. And of course, then guys, when you can ride, you ride. And I don't know if we should have opened or not, but it's tough. It's a tough call, and I don't begrudge the guys that have to make that call. But we had about 3 days, and that was it. One little benefit that wasn't much of a benefit, but it was a little benefit. I always think of March as the mud month. It's not real pretty. It's muddy because the frost is coming out. Unless you get a bunch of rain, things don't settle. Well, this year, we were kind of in a drought period there. Not so much anymore, but we were in a drought. And in March this year, March and April, we did not have the soft ground or mud. So at least that looked a little bit better. But then I wondered if it took a little while for things to green up, maybe a little longer. So you're right. This winter wasn't any better for us as far as attracting tourism as well. So we got our fingers crossed that maybe now we're in that cycle where, okay, we've been through that. Perhaps this winter now we'll have a normal, I'm not sure what normal is, but not 100 inches. We were just talking about that with a group the other day. It was a few years ago, we had 100 inches of snow. That's a lot of snow, and that was work. But maybe 50? Because we have 50 inches, and spread it out over 3 months, you know? So that would be awesome.
Yeah.
But a lot, you know, I like to take credit that our marketing makes all that happen, that when we see 3 and 4 years of increasing visitors to the area, I like to say, you know, hey, it was all the marketing. But there is one important component that needs to exist, or else that we're not going to get the return visitor. And we are getting return visitors. I see that firsthand with short-term rental lodging that I have, and just talking with people in the area. We're getting quite a few return visitors to the area. So that's number one. And the way that happens is that we have friendly area businesses. We have strong events that attract people. And when they're here, they're having really positive experiences. So really a shout out. A big component of what makes that happen are the area people, the businesses, our scenery, just the experience those visitors are having. You know, they're going out and they're telling people, hey, you know, and we're starting to hear it. Probably, I think it was about 2 years ago, was the first time I was somewhere else, and I'm Madison or Milwaukee, I can't remember, and I was talking with people, and I just said, hey, you know, they're like, where are you from? And shocking, I was talking to strangers, but where are you from? And I said, well, I'm from Richland Center area, usually lead with Ithaca, but then I know they think that's in upstate New York. So then I said, well, the greater Richland area, Richland County. And like, oh, I've heard that's just a really, really enjoyable place to go because of the hills and how calming it is. And then they've talked about lodging, that we do have some really unique, some really nice lodging options. And that was about 2 years ago. The next time I thought, oh, we're on the map, I'm manning our booth at Canoocopia. And at Canoocopia, you're getting paddle sports enthusiasts from all over the country. I mean, the Midwest and beyond, and even from international. And there was a booth across from us, they do Milwaukee kayak adventures on the Milwaukee River, so urban kayaking, very opposite from what you enjoy here. And the fellow running that booth came across, and he goes, hey, are you Marty? And I'm Marty. And he goes, boy, he said, I watch your videos on YouTube, and I've seen your streaming advertising. I really like what you guys are doing. And now I have people talking about your area for kayaking. And so I thought, okay, when you start to get, you know, the word on the street and it's positive, that also is helping you out as well. And that's important. But I think our area businesses and the people who run those businesses, and just in general, the people who welcome our visitors, they play a big part in this as well. But we do, you know, one of our biggest efforts that we pay for is streaming advertising in the Chicago and Milwaukee areas. And that has really proven our relationship with Gray Media, who helps us to select the specific areas and the people, because we specifically target people in Chicago and Milwaukee areas of certain locations who are interested in outdoor exploration. They're in a certain age group. They have certain demographic of income, but we know through their internet usage what their interests are. And so we're able to target fishermen, kayakers, hikers, bikers, those who are well-suited to come to our area. And that helps us then to have a wise expenditure of our resources. We also use some print advertising in select publications. Milwaukee Magazine has been one that's been fantastic for us. We have had area dining locations that have said, we've literally had people come in because they saw a little advertorial, so a write-up, not just our ad, but Milwaukee Magazine does little written explanations and descriptors of things they can do in our area. They also give us a little added, and not many print publications do this, but they've got a strong Instagram presence. And so for no additional charge, about four times throughout the year, they'll include our material on their Instagram post. And that's very beneficial to us because those are followers we would never have been able to reach. We just don't have that kind of presence. So there are specific print advertising things we do. And then our social media efforts. You know, we're real strong on Facebook. We are on Instagram fairly strongly.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henry.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy moving to stop funding for the mRNA vaccine, which was instrumental in the fight against COVID during the pandemic. ABC Chief Medical Correspondent Dr. Tara Narula says a lot of health experts are concerned.
They say, look, mRNA vaccines are safe. They can be produced rapidly. They have saved millions of lives. And we are using them to do research on things like HIV and cancer and RSV and CMV and all kinds of other viruses, even the flu virus. So that this is going to leave us very vulnerable. This is potentially a dangerous decision, according to many health experts.
Texas Republicans still trying to force Texas Democrats to return to the state to vote on new congressional maps that were drawn up after President Trump said he wanted five more GOP seats from Texas in next fall's midterms. Vice President J.D. Vance preparing to host a top administration officials this evening for what's being called a strategy session on how to best deal with the Jeffrey Epstein files. This is